Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. I'm Dizzy, here to welcome you. A couple of things you should know, but as we begin, number one, we swear.
Mm-hmm.
Use grown-up language.
We do.
Can't help it. We also are more of the liberal take on pretty much everything, which means we are slightly irreverent, downright heretical now and then.
Some say liberal, some say just going straight to hell.
I mean, the road is paved with us.
Are you saying we have good intentions?
I hope sometimes we do.
Yeah, sure.
So you should be warned that if that offends you, even though we don't really mean it, except when we do.
Sometimes.
You should be warned. We're Catholic. You don't have to be, but that's where we speak from, and we're happy you're here to listen.
Yeah.
And getting back to that libations part, my co-host, dear bud, guess, what are we drinking?
We are drinking a concoction of Church Drunk's own creation.
Hear, hear. Our mixologist, resident mixologist.
We went a lovely lavender hue for the holidays, for the Advent season.
We love liturgical living here at Church Drunk.
Yeah. What do we call it? The Church Drunk Advent Fizz?
I think the Advent Fizz. Church Drunk Advent Fizz.
We've got some gin, a little bit of cassis liqueur that's made with the currants, where we get our purple color and flavor from.
Yep.
Purple's not a flavor, but
I'm pretty sure in America
it's a flavor. It's purple flavor.
Yes.
And we have a little bit of a gourmet lemon soda.
Yes.
And delicious. A splash of lime juice in there. So it's a little citrus, a little cassis. You got to get some fizz on it, something carbonated. And
the
some
booze
gin.
Was gin. Yeah. So you could make this at home. When researching, I wanted a purple drink for Advent. It seems like people were mostly like doing like a combination of like Chambord and grenadine, which just seemed overly sweet. So I recommend the cassis. And if you wanted it even purplier, you could go with the little grenadine.
Just
maybe.
So that the Church Drunk listening public is clear, I really did try and talk Diz into some purple drink, cough syrup, Jolly Ranchers.
Gosh.
That's all you need in life.
I just wanted to have a slightly more successful episode, which I realize may not be affected at all by the color of my
purple drink. Maybe Lent. Maybe Lent is for purple drink.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll come back to Lent.
Yeah.
I probably, like, we did mention the purple Fanta. Like, I am not above it come Lent.
It's happened before.
Yeah. All right.
So, it is Advent.
Yes.
And we are at the end of
week two,
which means we're wrapping up our hope week.
No,
we're wrapping up our peace week.
Yes.
Peace week.
We've had hope. We've had peace. Dang,
so
it was a good peace week
of.
For you, huh? You almost scrapped it right there.
I don't even know, like, what I did this week. So, was it peaceful? No, it was not.
You know, it's true. When we were talking earlier, we've mentioned before, we kind of do a little back and forth of trying to share inspiration or rants.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
Usually the latter, not the former.
Or together.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, all the psalms, like there's these different types. Like, I think lament was meant to be like the rant type of psalm.
Yes.
Pretty sure that's valid.
The Book of Rants.
Mm-hmm. The Book of Rants. You know who wrote that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were talking about how there's just not a lot of peace in the world at the moment. It doesn't feel like a really peaceful time, and I think you, dear listeners, would know that because you're somehow getting this podcast on the internet, which means you know the world is fucked.
Yes, if you have the internet, you know that there's a need for peace.
Not a lot of good really in the news. Not that there ever is, but it seems like especially poor. Like nothing surprises me. Like horrible things happen, I'm like, yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, we did, on the one hand, we did learn an important lesson this week that is, even in Alabama, when a statutory rapist runs for office.
Another statutory rapist.
We can learn to say no.
No.
And we have. And and bully for you, Alabama, for saying no. Granted, fuck you like 48% of Alabama that said yes. But that's beside the point.
We're still not visiting Alabama anytime soon.
Right, yeah.
But good on you, Alabama.
Yeah, 49.8% of the people will
progress.
Be okay. Yeah, so that was like a headline where you could wake up and it didn't necessarily have to do with like a move towards world peace, but it did move us a little bit closer to, like, hopefully something where there's maybe a smidge more harmony in our dialogue.
Well, and, like, theological, like, sane intellectual Dizzy believes that, like, every action counts and that every little piece of positivity matters and contributes to the grand scheme. So, yes, on that hand, like, yes, I am so grateful for that little glimmer of peace.
And yet then we woke up the next day and realized that the world is not all peaches and cream and sunshine and rainbow farts. There was the whole net neutrality thing.
Right.
And that is, you know, like, unsavory, and people have different opinions on it, and I'm no, like, expert in the area, but it seemed like most people were feeling like this was yet another sign that, like, corporate bigwigs are running the show and not
More corporate greed, and it can't be good for the little guy.
Yeah, like, there's not as much room for justice. And those two do go hand in hand, right? Peace and justice kind of are linked.
Yeah.
That if you want peace, you have to work for justice.
I was going to say, go for it.
I know.
It's but for classic, real, but it it's true.
Yeah.
We believe that one. All right. So it hasn't been the most peaceful of times, but we still have hope. And we're still looking forward to that Prince of Peace. And maybe it's just, you know, seasonally appropriate. We're in our very dark, wintry days, and we have to get a little desperate to welcome a savior.
Yes. And it is.
To be ready for that.
It's The holidays are not always easy for everybody, you know, and I think that I've been pretty lucky and pretty blessed in my life to have the holidays be like a time of joy and a time with family, and my family makes me happy, and like it's been a good time of the year for me. But it's not always that way. Mm-hmm. And really at the heart of the season of Advent is that sense that you don't pray for something that you've already got, you know, like you should pray in Thanksgiving for that, but you pray for the things that you want. So when it's like, It's joy week, but I'm really sad. What am I doing? Why am I not feeling it? Well, no, like, you know, like you're praying for a greater sense of peace or a greater sense of joy. You want more of those things in your life. You want more of those things in the world. So,
well, and that draws us around to that big question that everybody asks, whether they're believers or not. And I think especially people who are suffering ask, you know, why is this happening to me? Why are these bad things happening? The whole problem of evil. And the only comfort we have in that is to say, well, God knows what's that like.
Right. And that is the idea of why, like, the incarnation is a big deal. Like, God is...
Like, even God couldn't escape it.
Yes. There were times when Jesus was desperate. There were times when Jesus was searching for hope or for joy. There were times where Jesus looked around at a world that was not a peaceful world and was like, this is fucked up, guys. Like, what are we going to do about this?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go die about this. But that's the whole point, you know? So there's that, and that's the point of justice, is that you can't escape consequence.
Right.
So I guess we'll just keep taking our...
Well, you know, you take your lumps and you do what you can with what you got, and you pray, you know? I mean, it's one of those, like, the topic of peace is a difficult one, because I think that a lot of people, and, like, you know, I don't know really where I lie on this, but, like, I know that a lot of the students that I've taught, when I say, like, we have to think about peace, we have to work for peace, we have to think about justice, we have to work for justice, the attitude is, why do we have to work for it if it's impossible, you know? And that, to me, is where prayer comes in, because prayer is kind of like, you know, the Hail Mary.
Is it like that?
It's like the Hail Mary pass, you're asking for something that on the surface looks impossible.
Right. But beyond that, you're participating in it.
Right. And that is your way of contributing. That's the mystery, is
to participate
in peace. When it seems like it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's at least one thing you can do.
It still matters. So keep on keeping on, people. Yeah. Don't give up on peace.
And when it comes to peace,
even if it's in your life,
we do kind of have a resident expert right now at the head of the show.
Yeah,
it's not a saying. I don't think the head of the show, but the head of the church.
Yeah, he's the head of the church, and he's the head of a state.
He is
Vatican City, and I think certain contingents like to pretend that's not part of the deal, but it is. It's part of the gig. Like, you know, people be like, don't politicize the Pope. You know, it's like, well, you know, the Pope's has a certain platform, and the church has used that for ill and for good at different times of history. But I think the current one is going to fall on the correct side of history and trying to use that platform. Yeah.
Well, Francis has so far, you know, and you can say what you will about, you know, his theology, and we tend to appreciate it.
We're all for it, for the most part. Not that we, you know, we don't buy in wholeheartedly on anybody, but except Jesus.
You know, like a lot of the more conservative brand of Catholics are are concerned by his, sure. by his theological points, but he has been a pope of peace. We've talked a lot about his work for the environment, mm-hmm. you know, like and the Laudato Si and the work to recognize that yeah. global warming is a thing and that we have a role to play in making the world a better place in that perspective.
And that would help peace for poor people,
too. Right, for sure. Yeah. He did. He made that a justice issue in terms of, you know, the people who are going to be most affected by this are the poor.
Mm-hmm.
But he took an active role in trying to improve relations between the U.S. and Cuba.
True.
A very public, active role in those negotiations to kind of open up the talks and make people perhaps more willing to communicate where there was no communication for so many years.
Yep.
He took an active role in the peace accord that was struck between FARC, the communist, like the only yeah. remaining communist guerrillas in the world. That
notorious
were,
ones.
And the longest yeah, civil war ongoing. They've been fighting since the 60s and 70s in Colombia, and he took a role in, you know, getting the leader of the guerrillas, the FARC, to sit down with the Colombian government and say, this is kind of ridiculous. Let's figure out a way yeah. forward so that we don't just continue to, like, randomly bomb, like, shopping malls.
Yeah, in our own country.
Yeah, and it's, you know, no, nothing like that is perfect or easy, but progress was made.
Well,
like,
that's
significant
the work
progress
of
made.
Diplomacy, and I yeah. think he is a diplomat. Or yeah. He's showing himself to be, and most recently his visit to Myanmar.
Right.
And yeah. he's... and there was people did or did not like how he handled that. And yeah. then when he got to Bangladesh, he kind of upped his political mm-hmm. Language a little bit. But it was all very strategic and looking yeah. out for the people.
Yes.
He didn't want to put them at risk, but right. still spoke about rights and spoke about caring for people, mm-hmm. for the group that's being, you know, targeted there. And even though they're saying they're not, it's this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So he's out there. We had a little Pope Hope
yeah.
working for peace.
And it even felt a little bit like when he came to the United States, like, gosh, like a year and a half
yeah.
ago, somewhere around there, that he was able to insert himself to that really nasty environment where the rhetoric is so vile between, you know, warring factions of politicians
mm-hmm.
and say things that everybody could agree with. And it just kind of put a little bit of a ceasefire, at least for a couple of days.
And he also had a call as part of that.
Yeah.
You know, he was not just saying nice words. He also sort of did have a call to action
yeah.
Or to conscience, at least, and speaking to Congress and, you know, using yeah. what he could.
I think he's a good model of how peace does not always mean passive, you know,
right.
like he's a very
yes,
active and challenging person to
mm-hmm.
say, here, it's going to be work and I expect you to be able to do it. And God helps us to accomplish these goals. But we have to put the people who are most affected by this conflict or by these arguments or by this ridiculousness at the forefront of our minds, that people are dying because of our inability to resolve this conflict.
And that should be the most Christian thing in our heads, right? That you're looking out for the poor. That's
absolutely
that's a basic gospel value. So anyway, we found a little pope-hope to keep us going.
Yeah, a little bit of peacefulness.
Take what you can get these
dark
days. In a
world
days.
That's not super peaceful. But yeah, definitely a shout out to Pope Francis for his work in the realm of peace. And it's nice to remember that during
yeah.
Peace Week.
Well, other things we like in this season, as we try to, like, get into the spirit of Christmas,
yes.
even though it's Advent. But next week is Joy Week.
Tis and the season to be Advent.
And we talked already about the only one, like, classic Advent song, which is O Come, Emmanuel.
Yes.
But if you're at all on the radio or any stations, you know, the Christmas music is just blasting out.
Yeah.
And people... I think on the whole, like, either love it or hate it, but
right.
more people, like, at least have some fondness for some Christmas songs. Like, you know, the secularization of Christmas in our society means that, like, everybody listens to Christmas music,
right.
which turns out to be, like, heavily religious in its words.
Yes.
In its lyrics, which I think is fascinating.
And I think that there's a bit of a lock and key kind of relationship there that, like, there is this music, and certainly there are, like, you know, commercialized versions of songs that drive me up the wall, right? But for the most part, the lyrics in a Christmas song, whether it's a religious hymn or a secular song.
And they all get smushed together, too. Like, right. You could have, like...
Yeah, like, one album order, will like, be, yeah. like, such a mix-up jumble of, mm-hmm. you know, like, Baby, It's Cold Outside, right. and then Silent
Speaking
Night.
Speaking of
you know, yeah,
rapiness.
Like, right, yeah. But, like, for the most part, these songs are about spending time with the people you love. Yeah. Or finding a spirit of hope in difficult times. And there's something about listening to songs like that consistently that I think do kind of lift your spirits a little bit. Like, you yeah. listen to good words,
yeah.
and it helps you kind of move ahead.
Well, not only good words, but a lot of them were composed a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it's actually kind of better music sometimes. Like, you know, they are still, like, auto-tuning them and whatnot, but, like, the right. actual, like, composition
the roots of it. Yeah.
comes from a more classical sure. place. So.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, there are definitely cringy versions out there of yeah. most Christmas songs. But hopefully those fade away.
they tend to.
Not all of them have. But, you know, there's some good and some bad. But, I mean, overall,
so
I do think it's a win. Like,
yeah.
in the grand scheme of music and how many truly awful types of music there are, and good types of music yeah. there are, I think Christmas nudges more towards the good stuff.
Well, it's all out there. I mean, like, everybody wants a Christmas album.
Right.
Like, at some point in their career, they're like, well, like, yeah, it's time for a Christmas
yeah,
album.
I got nothing better to do.
Or they totally love it.
I think about, like, when they record these things, right? And it must be,
yeah.
like, I mean, the amount of production that goes into it.
Sure.
Like, they're probably doing it, like, in the summertime. And they're like, all right, time to get in that Christmas spirit
yeah.
and hit the jingle bells in the background. And it's like, really? But, like...
But it's always kind of funny to, like, hear a group or an artist who you don't think would be singing anything about Jesus, because
right.
in addition to, like, the positive, like,
yeah.
hopeful message you mentioned, a lot of them are, like, literally, like, the Christ child,
yes,
like, the
exactly.
Virgin Mary.
Yes.
Like, these are coming out of their mouths, and you're like, oh, like, I did not think I would hear
yes.
this secular person talking
yeah.
about falling on their knees, you know? Like,
yeah.
it's just, well, maybe they would, but not for Jesus.
Not
usually.
For Jesus. Well,
yeah.
anyway, moving on.
Okay.
So
we
what we're going to do.
We have a game-ish thing to
yes,
do.
Yes, we have a game-ish thing to do. We're right. going to play Name That Christmas Song, and we have some secular and some religious and some oldies and some new ones that we've
yeah.
Come up. And we did a little research. We pulled the lyrics for verses only,
mm-hmm.
no choruses.
Right.
And it's simply going to be a reading, perhaps a dramatic reading of the lyrics.
Try not to sing it.
And the other one of us has to guess it, right?
Yeah.
So I will go first with
okay.
a chorus. This one should be, I thought of this one as
a lot of pressure, actually.
One that should be relatively easy, but I'll drop some hints if necessary.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
So, down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn.
Well, the manger, is it away in a manger?
No.
It's not. Okay.
Let me,
I thought that at first.
Let me drop a hint, right?
There's so many.
Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn.
Okay. All right.
And then you go tell it.
Oh, there's a mountain.
There is a mountain.
Go
yes, you go
mountain.
Tell it on the mountain.
I only needed almost the whole title to guess it.
Blessed Christmas morn.
You're right. That, you know, and that's actually kind of a fun song.
It is.
I think it's one of the first songs I learned to play, like, on the piano.
Yeah, it's kind
like,
of a classic for, like, the
mm-hmm.
Christmas concert,
like,
at the little fourth graders
yes.
where they're like, and God gave us a Savior. Yeah. So, okay.
All right.
Go Tell It on the Mountain. That
yeah.
was the first one. A kind of a classic religious song, but still crosses over into the secular realm from time to time.
Okay. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have one that I actually really like a modern version of.
Okay.
But it's a classic, and I have a verse here for you.
Okay.
All right. Fear not then, said the angel. Let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might.
God damn it. Now I can only think of Go Tell It on the Mountain.
That's
so
what
I'm
would
hearing
be the
that,
way
like,
in, a major.
In the tune of Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Okay, there comes the next line, O tidings of comfort.
Comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy.
Yeah, it's God rest ye.
God rest ye, Mary.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
You knew it. But the bare naked ladies have like a really fun version of this, and it's so jarring because every time it comes up, like on the Pandora, I'm like, I love this, and why, and so how, and we were who?
Actually, just listening to that song with Mrs. Guess, and she was like, I love this song.
It's a great song. Oh, I love Mrs. Guess so much. We always have a good connection.
We've got a friend who. Now, bare naked ladies, they're Canadian.
Yeah, right.
And our friend, who is also Canadian, happens to do a fantastic impression of just the first line of that bare naked lady song that starts out, it's been.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And so he'll just drop it randomly into conversation. And so when Mrs. Guest goes, I love this. Who is this? I was like, oh, come on. You know this. She was like, no, I really don't. And so all I had to do was go, it's Ben. And she was like, no, it's not.
But it is a very jaunty version.
It is.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, noop, doop, 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 doop. It's a good one.
Yeah, this is harder than it sounds, dear listeners.
It is.
Because
now you're only going to have... Okay, so this one...
Wipe it clean. Yeah.
Okay. This one you may or may not have even heard of.
Oh,
all right?
Wonderful.
So this one's a deep dive.
Shit.
I'm pretty sure that I've made you listen to it.
God damn
but
it.
It's,
all right.
It's not one that you'll hear on the radio waves all that often.
Okay.
I will tell you, it's a duet between at least one of your favorite people and somebody else. All right?
Okay.
It's not me. But
oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I would know if you had a Christmas album.
But I think you'll know why I chose it as I read the lyrics.
Hmm.
A redeemer and a savior. An obese man giving toys for good behavior. The faith in what might be and the hope that we might see. The answer to all sorrow in a box beneath the tree.
Is it some like Colbert spoof?
It is Stephen Colbert.
Christmas. I don't know what song it is.
Stephen Colbert and Elvis Costello.
Oh, delightful.
There are much worse things to believe in.
Oh, yeah. So dear.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Stephen Colbert really is pretty bullseye, and he and I at Theology, we're good pals.
If you guys have not watched the Stephen Colbert Christmas special or listened to the song Much Worse Things to Believe In, you should go Google that shit right now.
That could be somebody else's podcast name. Like, go record that. Like,
right.
Much Worse Things to Believe In. That could have been us, too.
Believe in a judgment. Yeah. Believe in jihad. Believe in a thousand variations of a dark and vengeful God. I could go on.
Please find this.
It's the one musical I like.
Okay. How did that finally get back in here?
All right. So, what's
up next? I have another obscure one for you. I tend to go very British in my, like, musical...
Yes.
Advent choices or Christmas choices. So
understandable.
This is a classic, but you might also not be familiar with. So the holly bears a berry as red as any blood, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to do poor sinners good.
Yes.
Do you know?
The holly and the ivy.
Yes. It's such a great song.
The holly and the ivy. So good.
Yeah. I love that song.
It's a great one. It is.
Right.
And a lot of like bands have started to do versions of that because it's like such a...
It's good music.
It's a very good song. And they, you know, like, so put good musicians on it and they'll have fun with it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're doing better. Question two is...
We got it. All right.
Shit. Now we go.
All right. Okay. I'll give you an option. You want an old one or a new one?
I mean, what am I? I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
Then we're going old.
Okay, go old.
No, we're going new. Sorry. We're going new.
Okay. All right. The pressure.
Now, this was the one where, when we were getting ready for this, I was like, aha, I've got it. Because this has become one of my favorite. We were talking about there weren't a lot of modern classics.
Yes.
Not a lot of songs that have entered the sort of realm of the Christmas songs that you absolutely have to listen to every year. And this is one of them for me.
Okay.
A lot of people know it. It was featured on a television show that I don't know that you've watched.
Yeah, I'm pretty hit or miss with the pop culture.
I could have been someone. Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I've built my dreams around you.
This is a Christmas song.
And the boys of the NYPD choir... We're singing Galway Bay.
Okay.
And the bells were ringing out on Christmas Day.
Yes.
You know it? Have you heard it?
I think I've heard it, but not even enough to know the words.
It's called Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues. It's an absolutely
seems like more of a St. Patrick's Day
wonderful song.
Reference, but okay.
Well, you like there's you know there's Galway Bay, but there's always it is in my opinion. A modern classic Christmas song.
Wow.
It's a ballad.
That was
the story of people falling in love and having hopes and having it all
fall apart
around them. I do
like ballads. But this is like the guessiest of all like Christmas songs, people. No, this is my life. I like it when you send me these songs in a joyful way, not when you use them to trip me up playing game-ish things.
If you have watched The Wire on HBO, you have to.
Oh my God.
They sing that a few times on the show. It's so good.
I have a lot to do now.
There you go.
Over this holiday. Okay, well, I have a song that's also a more modern one, since we're going to go cutting ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's nothing wrong with it, except something's wrong with it. All right, it's really obvious, actually. You're going to probably guess it. Okay, so did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? I just cannot take it seriously.
Is that the Mary Did You Know?
Is
that like Kenny Rogers?
I had the Pentatonix one in my...
Oh, the Pentatonix.
Pentatonix. Like, you should be good and you're not. And the song.
Mary,
why
do
people like that song? Yeah. Like, she probably kind of did know, fuckers. Like, you know, she had some signs. I got a goddamn angel.
Well, there was an angel. But we know that we don't always see eye to eye on that subject.
Oh, my gosh.
Was there an angel?
Last time we played one of these games, Raziel was both of our downfalls.
All right, you want another one that you have a better shot at than the fairy tale in New York? Okay,
whatever.
How about this one? And with Mary we behold it, the Virgin Mother so sweet and so kind, to show God's love aright, she bore to men a Savior when half spent was the night.
That's really beautiful.
It's nice that we're going.
I like that we're going.
We have
a lot of Mary, and we talked about all her feast days.
It was a good Mary week.
Can I hear it one more time?
Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And with Mary we behold it, the Virgin Mother so sweet and so kind, to show God's love aright, she bore to men a Savior when half spent was the night.
Was it O Come All Ye Faithful?
No, not O Come All Ye Faithful. Mm. This one talks about Isaiah's prophecies.
Oh.
And the name is actually kind of a reference to Isaiah's prophecy of a rose, or a flower blooming in the desert. So it's called
Rose of Sharon.
Lo, how a rose air
blooms. Oh, that is beautiful too. I don't know that one well enough, but I feel I should revisit it.
It's a good one. There is a Sufjan Stevens version of that one.
Okay, then I have heard
it. It's lovely. Yeah.
God, that's Sufjan Stevens. Another one of the hipsters fully embracing the churchiest of churchy language.
He kind of was the first one to do it. I mean, that album is from way back now. And he took some stuff that people hadn't heard in a long time and pulled it off and dusted it off and redid it, and it was really good.
Even though I'm not guessing so well, I feel that we're giving folks some things
we
to
are.
Go look up.
We are.
All
right, last one, right?
The last one, and this is just kind of one that I actually like, and I'm switching it up. I thought of this while we were doing it because I enjoy this one. Another, like, modern guy doing a moderately modern song. I don't think it's super old or super new, but it's quite dear and long. So let's see.
Be here for 10 more minutes while we get our dramatic reading of the final song.
Yes, I will read all the it's just a jaunty one as well.
Okay.
But I'll try to give you, you'll get it from any of them, but it has all the angels in heaven shall sing, and all the souls on earth shall sing, and all the bells on earth shall ring. I can't read you the next lines because you would get it. So all these things happen on a certain day.
On Christmas Day?
Yeah, on Christmas Day.
Saw three ships.
Yeah. And Sting has a version that is also not terrible and kind of nice.
Sting
has a fun saw three ships come sailing in Christmas version.
Fair enough.
And he's a fascinating character. If anybody doesn't know much about Sting, go. He did a recent album that was all like old, like whale songs. I don't know. Like Welsh songs. Oh, anyway.
You meant like whale songs. Like Sting is... Sting is like...
I wish he would. Oh, the fucking Haggard Elf.
Over our Haggard Elf. Oh, man. Things are going off the rails here. Well, I think that it's perfect note to end on for a week when we will be posting a blog post with some of our favorite, like, new-ish or redone Christmas songs. we're kind of fascinated by, like, secular bands that do religious music at this time.
Yeah, and another favorite, actually church-drunk favorite that's kind of Marian and Advent-y is the Heaven Hangs, like, Freedom Over Everyone from Iron and Wine, which is pretty lovely.
That one's good. So, maybe I'll throw that one in there as well.
We'll
post a little Advent playlist. We'll include some of these songs and maybe a couple of others and for your listening pleasure. And you can hit us up with your favorites.
Please.
Email them to us, churchdrunk@gmail.com. Tweet them to us.
Just like...
what is it?
I think it's DV What?
At DV What.
Yeah, at DV What. Sent us a truly... spectacular version of O Holy Night, and you could do something like that as well.
Shout out to listener at DB What who picked up on the fact that Diz's favorite Christmas song was O Holy Night and sent us a video of that he had done before. Mm-hmm. Didn't do it just for us, although I feel like in the end it feels like it is for us.
Now.
Of apparently a movement called Murder a Song.
Yep.
And he pretty murdered inspirational. The song. Well, I will retweet it so that everybody can take a look.
Nice.
And enjoy it. And send us your favorites. Tweet them to us. If you would like to murder a song and share it with us, we would really appreciate it.
If you know how to make purple cocktails better than we do, let us know how.
For sure. And we will see you next time. We are entering Joy Week, so it'll be a fun one next time.
Is it Gaudete or Gaudete?
It's Joy Week.
Okay. Joy!
I thought it was Gaudete. No?
I think so.
All right.
That seems wrong. I don't know.
I don't know. It's Pink Week.
It's Rose, you goddamn heathen.
Pink Week. that'll be next week when we hit up Joy Week, Pink Week, Gaudete Week. And you'll be the lovely recipients of our joy. So join us again here at Church Drunk, where peace is flowing like a river
of booze,
clean, pristine
vodka,
mountain vodka.
Yes.
With a hint of lime.
Just have a little sprig of mint and off you go.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.